Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday, 5:05 p.m. right after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. No matter what happens, we'll find a way to bring it to you as we demonstrated in the past hour. But now it's your time for your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week?
We're in the money.
We got a lot of money just to get along. We're in the money.
We're in the money.
Well, Bitcoin fell below 10,000 today, but it still made a heck of a run over the last few days and into the weekend. Sudden volatility saw markets abandon five figures just a day after reaching them. Also, insurance providers are relying on blockchain technology to fast-track claim payouts amid a coronavirus outbreak in China. When you hear how far advanced they are in blockchain, that's going to make this story mean even more significant news. After launching Trump futures trading last week, FTX plans to release five additional 2020 presidential election-based futures products. They better hurry. Ukrainian authorities said that crypto mining does not require regulatory activity from governmental oversight bodies or other third-party regulations. That's just how they do it in Ukraine. And who can help me with all this but... Well, I don't hear a dial tone, so I'm hoping he's still on the line. It sounds like it's Andrew from the Talking Market Show. Andy, as we know him here for so long, and thank you for sticking around on an abbreviated show, which I still have to get to class today, but we'll go for about a half hour or so here if we can. And, well, you're up in Tennessee.
Up in Tennessee, up in Memphis. It's freezing up here.
And amazing.
My speakers off.
The amazing thing is your phone line now is stronger than it was on the previous show.
I moved in the hotel accommodation area, so down here in the comment, I just moved over. That was it.
Oh, well, that I'm glad you found that out before we did this. Anyway, well, hopefully you'll be back in town for next Monday's Power Hour block of financial news and talk and everything else.
I'm coming back tomorrow, thank God. I get back to that warm air.
Yeah, we're going to keep it warm for at least another day for you. All right, well, let's get on with what's going on.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Bitcoin fell below 10,000 on February 10th. As I said, that would be today. Sudden volatility saw markets abandon five figures just a day after reaching them. Data from Coin360, Cointelegraph Market showed the Bitcoin U.S. dollar dipping to lows of 98.50 at, well, actually, it's, let me see where it is. It's right about 98.42 as we speak on Coinbase. Or no, Bitstamp, excuse me. Anyway, it followed by a bounce back from the 10,000 and fluctuations all around the low 9,800s up to a little bit above 9,900. And some people, and if you were listening to Talking Markets just a few short minutes ago, they talked about, was it because of the CME futures gap? The close at last week was right around 98.50 where we are now. And that seems to be something of a conversation in a lot of circles. Others say it was just this is just a fairly mild dip. And the real question is, are we going to reclaim 10,000? And we'll put the real question to Andy. Are we going to reclaim 10,000?
Yeah. I wish I had my crystal ball to let me know that. But, you know, it's not really falling apart here. We need another candle or two. If the next candle, we get a close today on the low, and the next candle does not recover that 99.50 or 10,000 level, then we're probably looking at some lower levels in the near term. But as far as is the broader perspective, this market strengthening, we're starting to see a strengthening across just not Bitcoin, just not Bitcoin Cash. We're starting to see it across all the coins, and that's a good sign that there's some inflow here. People are taking some profits probably in Bitcoin and chasing some altcoins. That'd be one thing. But to put it into the futures gap, I just don't agree with that. I think a lot of people think because, oh, equities generally try to fill a gap that, oh, this must be it. But Bitcoin's traded 24/7, so there's really not, it's not the same animal here.
Yeah, that's what I wonder, too, when that's being brought up. Maybe the first few times when it caught a lot of traders in the U.S. by surprise, but I would think that if they're really playing the futures market in the U.S., they probably know how to hedge outside the U.S. too, at least some of these hedge fund operators and all. Is the 98.50, is that about where the short-term resistance was before it broke through? So are we just sitting on the new support, or how does that work out?
Yeah, well, there is a minor, a very minor support here at 98.50 on smaller time frames. You have to go down to like a four-hour chart. So there is some minor support here. So it's not, you know, we could see a bounce higher. The key thing is where do we close and where does the next candle go through? Do we see some follow through or do we see people say, hey, it closed around that 98.50 level. Maybe I'll step in and buy some here. Yeah, we don't know yet. We really got to give this thing some time here, but there is a minor support at 98.50. The big support level is down at 95.10. So that's kind of the level we want to keep an eye on is if we start taking out the 95.10 level and essentially the 9,000, 9,200 level. Now, that is a real key level there. We don't want to see it going back there. We'd like to see it stay up above 9,500, which would be a sign of strength. And that's what we're looking for. How weak or how strong is this market? Is for there to be some room to run, or are we going to get a pullback into the mid-8, upper-8s, something like that?
I already ordered my Lambo.
Actually,
it's a Tesla. But
well, you got some time to pick the color here.
Well, it's the pickup, so I got 2 years for him to make it.
There you go.
So one quick question before we move on to the next story, because the next story, I think, really has some substance and interest to it, well beyond just price. But when you say it needs to close above whatever price it was, how do we determine the close on a 24/7 market that's global?
Well, we look at the close of the candle on the day. So that's at I think 6 o'clock Eastern time, and then the next open is critical. So we would really need some more information here. There's not enough evidence. You got an outside candle here, which is generally a bearish sign. However, the momentum is still very strong, and the market's very strong. So it gives it less weight. Now we are in a resistance area everywhere between here and 10 to 11,000. There's a large resistance area. So it's not uncommon to see some pullback, maybe some, you know, a couple days of consolidation before it makes a move. It could also fall apart here. That's why we're keeping our eye on the 9510, 9500 level to make it round numbers. So 9500 is a key level that we want to see it. We want to see it hold. If it holds there and gives us a bullish reversal signal on a daily candle or maybe even a 12-hour candle, then we have some confidence that this thing's ready to break higher, and that's where we can look for 11,000.
All right. Well, maybe you've heard of this. There's something that's going around called the coronavirus. Have you heard about that?
You know, at first I thought it was Corona Beer Special, but, yeah, I guess there's a virus they named after it.
Right, yeah. I thought it was people were just picking up stray Corona bottles and drinking from them or something, but it turns out it's not that, and it turns out that it's quite prevalent in China, from what we're being told by the news media. Well, one of the things that we talk about here, whenever we can avoid talking about what's up and what's down in pricing, is deployment of blockchain technology. And we usually talk about it in the terms of, you know, IBM is doing this here, and Walmart's doing this on their supply chain with blockchain, this and that. And we've, at times, talked about China and its blockchain deployment. And, of course, when President Xi, whatever that was, 3 months ago, it seems like years ago by now, 3 or 4 months ago when he said China is going to be a blockchain powerhouse. And, well, I was surprised by this story because of the functionality. A lot of times we talk about blockchain, and really, do you really need a distributed ledger? Do you just need a secure database? And a lot of the things that were touted in 2017 and in 2018 haven't come to pass. Some things have. But listen to this, Andy, if you haven't already looked at it. And as I tell the audience, insurance service providers are relying on blockchain technology to fast-track claim payouts amid a coronavirus outbreak that has placed at least 27 mainland Chinese cities on lockdown and forced many to work from home. All right. So, first of all, they have a functioning system to pay out claims, and, you know, maybe that isn't too surprising. But in mainland China, Zhengzhubao, the online mutual aid platform, see, I said that as though it was going to be a person because I hadn't read the next six words, but that's an online mutual aid platform owned by Ant Financial, which in turn, I believe, is owned by Alibaba. Anyway, this month added the coronavirus as eligible for a maximum one-time payout of 100,000 won, which in the U.S. it would be approximately $14,320. Now, the platform is not an insurance product, which also sounds a little puzzling when you hear it the first time, but a collective claim-sharing mechanism built on blockchain technology that offers basic health plans to its 104 million participants here. All right. So what I think I can relate this to is, you know, there's this Christian health plan where it's like a share plan where it's not like a qualified health plan that's in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. It's something else where people just – organize themselves through this share plan. I'm sure there's an administration infrastructure for it, and I know people that have participated in it, where you get sick. Say you break your ankle, and you have a bill you can't handle. You submit it to the share plan, and people that have made a contribution. Andy, you're still there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. Okay. All right. Just another line's trying to break in on us. It's probably the Chinese. They don't want these secrets given out. And so anyway, that's what this sounds like to me, that these are 104 million participants that have a certain amount of money that they're willing to put into the pool so that when somebody gets hurt in the 104 million or some other problem, they can make a claim. Anyway, it says it's used from China's lower-tier cities, counties, and rural areas. So, that again, that makes sense that these are people with limited means that use the strength of 104 million people to get a little bit of security that maybe they don't have a kind of job that gives, you know, unlike, say, England or the United Kingdom, they don't have a national health care system in China that, you know, it takes care of almost everything and is sort of a birthright when you come into it. Anyway, it uses a blockchain network to speed up the settlements and reduce fraud and is available on Alipay, the predominant mobile payment app in China. So it's tied in with Ant Financial. It's on Alipay, which is part of Alibaba. And so we're talking about something that's really got some penetration and prevalence in the country. Now, the funding is paid out by Ant Financial's own capital and is separate from the 300,000 won maximum payouts, which I guess would be about $40,000-$50,000, that Zhengzhubao participants are entitled to for another 100 critical illnesses. So this share plan, if you will, has like 100 illnesses. It's already on the blockchain, though. It's not like they invented this blockchain for coronavirus. It's functioning for these other 100 illnesses. They just threw in the coronavirus as a kicker. And, you know, I'm thinking out of 104 million people and, you know, what is it, 900 people have died right now?
Yeah.
There might be a little bit of marketing ploy to that. You know, because it really hasn't, you know, it's not like lung cancer or something like that that would be helpful
You could be part of one of these 100 critical illnesses. Anyway, it's been able to process claim, make payouts to participants quicker, decentralized, trust-free blockchain. The Ant Financial spokesman in Beijing said, claim applicants submit their supporting documents as evidence, while investigation firms can get immediate access to them on the blockchain. All parties involved see the entire process. Now, the only thing that's a little questionable of this, Ant Financial is an affiliate of Alibaba Group, which in turn is the owner of the South China Morning Post, which is where I found this article.
Oh, wow. There you go.
But I'm sure it runs just as well as they say it does. Let's see. Beijing has said all medication and health care service expenses linked to the outbreak will be covered by the government's basic medical insurance scheme. I think that means plan. It's just rough in translation.
Correct. Correct.
So this is just something to help you with the other hardships, to make ends meet while you're laid up with your coronavirus, not laid up with your corona. But, anyway, so this is something that's already is well underway, deployed, and working, not just for the coronavirus, but more. We have a phone call coming in. I bet this is going to be one of those bill collectors or robocalls, but I'm going to take it anyway. You're live on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Valerie in?
No, but you're on the air. Thanks for calling. All right.
They're so fun. They're so much fun.
So before we move on, because there are a couple other things to talk about. I know we want to get to the Trump futures. But the thing here, so we got this instance, this share plan, but then I look farther down in the article, is Juan, who is this Patrick Juan, Blue Cross's managing director. So separate from what we were just talking about, but now we're moving into Blue Cross of China. Our blockchain-backed claim services played a key role during the outbreak, et cetera, et cetera, and healthcare delivery. Juan said Blue Cross had not seen a pickup in claims last month, but it had helped medical service providers by reducing time spent on administration work at a time when the city's resources are stressed by that. I think we might have a little scoop there, because this was
Used. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to step all over your audio there. Anyway, but, I mean, he just said they had not seen a pickup in claims last month. I mean, this is...
Well, look at it this way, though. If you're sitting at home and you got the coronavirus and you're in, Wuhan, if you're in there and you know that they're going house to house, picking people up and taking them to these warehouses, where they're just throwing them in makeshift hospitals, where you're probably going to end up dying. Are you really going to make a claim on the blockchain so they know right where to come get you? I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
Well, I mean, if you got sick enough, you'd make the claim.
Maybe.
Your spouse may be making the claim for you. Come get him.
He's sick. Well, you don't know. We haven't seen a big rise in claims. I can't imagine why.
So, anyway, Blue Cross says they've had their blockchain medical claims app up working since April of 2019. And in the third quarter of this year, they're going to expand the use to cover travel and general insurance products.
Nice.
Sounds like we got some catching up to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
This one I'll just briefly get into, and then we'll hit the futures for the presidential candidates. A report published by investment management Van Eck on January 29th suggests that institutional investors should allocate a small percentage of their capital into Bitcoin. According to the report, Bitcoin may enhance risk and return reward profile of institutional investment portfolio. Now, we should say that Van Eck is trying to get a Bitcoin ETF through the Securities and Exchange Commission, so they're not biased on any of this. Anyway, a small allocation to Bitcoin significantly enhanced the cumulative return of a 60% equity and 40% bonds portfolio allocation mix, while only minimally impacting its volatility. Well, to cut through all that, there's a chart. And I've got 2 points on here. Have you had a chance to look at this chart in any kind of depth yet?
No,
you've been sort of busy with all your engineering up there. there's five, six different lines on this chart. And but the real key, when I first read the quote, 60% equity and 40% bonds portfolio, well, I'm thinking if you're holding 40% bonds over the last couple of years, you're going to underperform. I've heard some investment advisors saying that that needs to be revised and changed to 75% equities, 25% fixed income for people. It's just outdated. Yeah. And if you look at this,
yeah, I mean, you look at those allocations. They were done back when you were getting 6, 8, 12% in the bond market.
Right. Not for this chart, but for when it became the rule of thumb that financial advisors would tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody was thinking 2% interest rates, you know.
Yeah. So they have a line that's just the straight 60-40, no Bitcoin. And then they have one that's 60-ish percent and half percent Bitcoin. They take the half percent out of both allocations of bonds and equities. And then they have a 1%, and they have a 3%. Well, obviously, if you have Bitcoin and you're going to take it back to 2012 like this chart does, that 3% is going to really outperform, and it's going to look better than all these other ones. But there's one relevant part of this chart is they put a line that's just a straight S&P 500. So, in other words, 100% in an index fund of S&P 500. And in that case, that is the second from the top line, but the top line is the 3% Bitcoin line, and that outperforms the S&P 500 all the way through the 10-year or 9 to 10 years of this chart that is covered.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an unfair chart there. I'm looking at it now. I pulled up the email here. And yeah, you're looking at Bitcoin in 2012 was what?
I don't know, a dollar?
$10?
No, actually, I think by 2012, by sometime in 2012, it had its first big run, and up to the high hundreds. And then that was right about the time, and I'm already having a senior moment here, when the exchange that collapsed in Japan, the one with Magic the Gathering. Why can't I think of that name right now?
Me neither.
Oh, wow. And you're younger than
anyway.
Me. All right. Well, anyway, you all remember that name. All of you are younger than Andy and I. Otherwise, you'd be living off
somebody
the
Somebody needs to phone call it in, you know?
Yeah. All right. So let's.
You got 3% of your portfolio going up, 3,000%. Yeah, that's going to make a big difference. It's going to cover your bonds, I mean, pretty much. So I think the fair play here is, the one chart they didn't put on there is what if you had 97% stocks and 3% Bitcoin? Where would that chart be now?
Yeah, because that would be basically like S&P, 97% S&P index and 3% Bitcoin. Well,
yeah,
you could find something similar if you looked at ARK Investments, ARKW, exchange-traded fund. That was the first exchange-traded fund to actually hold Bitcoin as part of its portfolio through the Grayscale Bitcoin Investment Trust. And they had a huge outperformance over 2016, 2017, and into 2018. And then they liquidated. But they were able to hold up to 10% with the Grayscale Trust. And they reached a peak, and it's actually taken them a year after they removed that from their portfolio. It's taken them another year and a half to get back to that level. All right. So in the last few minutes here, saving the best for last.
Trump coin.
Yes. Well, actually, Trump coin, Sanders coin, Biden coin, Warren coin, Buttigieg coin, and Bloomberg coin. After launching Trump futures trading last week, FTX, which is a company I didn't even know existed until they launched Trump Futures, plans to release five additional 2020 presidential election-based futures product. What we're about to come out with is just similar contracts for the top five Democratic candidates, an FTX representative told Cointelegraph. FTX plans to launch a Bernie Sanders, the Bernie coin, futures trading product, as well as futures Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, the Warren.
Pocahontas?
Pete Buttigieg. No, not the Buttigieg. It's the Pete. And Mike Bloomberg, the Bloomberg. Although they have not finalized the release date for these products as of press time, the rep said they should go live within the next several days, possibly as early as today, which I think was either today or yesterday when this came out. Well, they really need to get it out before New Hampshire votes tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think they've got much time for people to place their bets, figuratively speaking, of course. FTX announced a futures trading
option. They should have one to see if New Hampshire can get the counting right within 3 days. That should be the really cool thing.
Well, I think they've got it. All you got to do is come in and vote there. You don't have to walk around a gym and go back and forth and confuse the people that are sitting there once every 4 years at their little table with their sheets of paper. Anyway,
yeah.
Actually, it wasn't really the people at the table that got confused. It was the top-down management of the whole thing. FTX announced a futures trading product called Trump, based on President Donald Trump. I bet you could figure that out before I even said it. The re-election in 2020. The Trump contract trades between zero and a dollar. If Trump achieves re-election, all contracts immediately become worth a dollar.
A dollar?
Yes. If he fails to secure a second term, Trump contracts become worthless. So I'm just telling you, you probably don't want to pay more than a dollar. And really, don't pay more than 99 cents if you want to make a profit. The initial feedback has been extremely positive. I got a Trump chart here. A representative said regarding Trump, the people have really been excited about this. Well, I would think so. I wonder if you can short the Trump.
you just sell it. You sell the contract.
You have to do it on their system, so you'd have to.
Yeah, you write to sell.
I guess we'll have to.
Just like any futures contract.
Regardless of my political leanings, I don't think I'd be shorting the Trump contract. Although you have a lot of potential shorts there on the Democratic side. I mean, really, you could short all five and you come out ahead rather than picking one. If that's available to you, five additional futures products will have the same structure as Trump. So that means four out of the five are going to go to zero.
Is it for the Democratic nominee or for the presidential, to win the presidency?
No, it says here we don't have contracts on who's going to win the primary specifically. At most, one of these contracts is going to expire to $1. So you basically – You could if you can get it discounted, you buy your Trump contract.
Okay.
And then you short all five of the Democratic ones, and four out of the five you will make a profit on.
Well, and no.
Then you buy the other one back.
Well, it's Trump contracts trading at 60 cents. So that would assume that the other five combined would only be trading at 40 cents.
Well, you can still short it. I don't know. I don't know that really follows.
All five of them and still be at 40.
I don't know that would follow because there might be people that just want to make a statement and are willing to, you know, like a lot of things people buy that they just make a statement and it doesn't make sense economically.
So the key trade there then is if the combined total of the Democratic is more than 40 cents, then you go ahead and short the whole thing.
Well, I mean, we're coming up on the close here, but now I'm thinking when I get out of class tonight, I'm going to, first of all, I have to find out what FTX, oh, wait a minute. I don't think we're allowed to trade from the U.S. Numerous other trading platforms ban participants from the U.S. and other countries due to regulatory concerns. So you'll have to.
Oh, they got the Bernie. They already got the coins out. Here it is.
Yeah?
I'm looking at them now. They got the Bernie coin. Bernie coin, 18 cents. Bloomberg coin, 6 cents. Biden coin, 6 cents. Buttigieg, 6 cents. Yeah, right? Warren down at a penny. Ugh. So they're really not pricing her in. So if you add them all up, there you go. There's your 40 cents.
Okay.
So Bernie's in the lead here.
This is our imaginary. This is what I would do if I wanted to play these coins and I was allowed to.
Okay.
Because it doesn't look like anywhere in the English-speaking world you can do this. Not Canada, the European Union, UK, or even the U.S. So what was the first one, the Bernie coin?
Bernie is in the lead with 18.6 cents.
Now, not as a political pick, but I would say you still should short that because he's still fighting the odds. 18 cents may sound like a buy, but it's still a short. Now, what was the next one? Bloomberg?
Bloomberg, number two. I mean, they got Bloomberg number two here.
But that's only 6 cents. And when I'm thinking if Biden, Warren, and or either the other two, Buttigieg or Sanders leaves, I would not short Mike Bloomberg at 6 cents. He's short enough that I would buy. I would go long on Bloomberg at 6 cents. And then who is next?
Then Biden.
Yeah, I was short Biden.
And then Buttigieg.
Well, because of my theory about 4 out of 5 are gone, and what is he at, 6 cents?
Yeah, 6 cents. You know what I would do here, Henry? You know, I'm a gambler. I love poker. I'd go long Bloomberg, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'd go long Bloomberg, and I'd short everybody else.
Who is the second
Bloomberg
long?
Bloomberg probably is the only one that could really kind of get toe-to-toe to Trump.
Who was the second long?
Bloomberg. He's second at 6 cents. So if you win that, you're going to get paid 92 cents per dollar.
No, which were the two that you were going to go long on?
I would go long on Bloomberg. I would go long on Bloomberg and Trump, and then I would short Bernie, Biden, Buttigieg, and Warren.
Well, Warren at a penny, it's almost not
2 cents. Yeah, not worth shorting her, but she's pretty much gone. She ain't going to win nothing. Let's just face it.
That would be a long shot, but it would be a 100-to-1 payout. Okay.
100-to-1. I'd rather go with Bloomberg as a long shot.
All right.
94 cents. You're getting $94 for every dollar of risk.
All right. Well, on that, I have got to get to class. I thank Andy for sticking around to do the abbreviated version of the show, and he'll be back in the studio next week, and I think Pennies from Heaven might just be the appropriate song to go out of this on those Biden futures and Warren. We're going to dedicate this one to Elizabeth Warren. A Pennies from Heaven on her one penny future contract.
Contract.
Andy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Henry.
Bye.
Every time it rains. Pennies from heaven, don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over the town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of